Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to listeners, we are from Trade Islam International. We welcome you once again to the program, the Rabbit of Car program. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. With us in the studios is Abdul Haq Katrara, as well as Brother Adil Mia. And we'd like to welcome them on the program. Abdul Haq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to my brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakum Allahu khairan once again for the opportunity. Alhamdulillah. We've got a full house today. Brother Adil is here as well, inshallah. So, yeah, I think, guys, don't sit back and relax. Sit back, give us a call. Let's see how we can help you, inshallah.
Adil, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum to all our listeners. Jee, alhamdulillah, we're back after a long time altogether.
Yeah, you've been going from country to country, Adil.
Inshallah, Allah accept from us. Jee, what's up? Yeah, we're ready for the questions. So, inshallah, anyway, we can assist our listeners out there, the motoring problems or advice, we are here to answer the questions.
Jazakumullah. Adil, somebody wants to buy a 320D E46. 320D E46, a bit of suspension problems. And windscreen's been cracked. The guy wants about 35,000 rands. But is it advisable to buy a 320D E46? And how about, what about the problems on the car? And are they very expensive to fix up if something goes wrong?
Yeah, any diesel vehicle, the main secret for a diesel vehicle is
low
maintenance.
Kilos.
Yeah, the low kilos, and if the car is maintained properly. You can have high kilos, but if regularly it was maintained, it shouldn't be an issue, because you must remember a diesel vehicle always outlasts a petrol engine because they're designed to go for a long time. And another secret to diesel engine also, it's the short distance driving doesn't agree with the diesel engines. But I mean, if you've got the smaller one, then it's not so bad. So no, the price sounds right. If the mileage is high and if the mileage is high and it's got a full service history, then it's not a bad buy. The most common thing on those cars is the injectors. They always give a problem, and the turbochargers on a 320 diesel. But the rest of the car on the whole, suspension always can be sorted out. I don't think it will be a real issue.
Yeah, typically on the injectors, to do the injectors, what are we looking at?
To do the injectors, can be a bit costly to repair. And in today's day and time, on the new modern day engines, they're not really cheap. They can start from about 2,500 and up, Zemo. So
the injector.
Yeah.
Up to where? Come, put a figure.
It depends. It can even go up to about 6,000 an injector.
Let's recondition.
Per injector.
No, this is a new one, yeah. To recon, you can do about 3.5 around there.
You mean for all the injectors?
No, it's only for one.
Oh, only for one. And how many injectors are there in the car?
There's only 6 injectors. 20.
So it's approximately 20,000 rand just to do the, and the car's worth is approximately 35,000 rand.
So the main secret to a diesel engine, like I said, make sure you've got a full service history and use the correct diesel in the car. Because you see, with the modern day engine, to use the higher sulfur diesel is not advisable because it's what clogs the injectors in the whole fuel line system. Always use a lower sulfur, like the 50 ppm.
I mean, in all the diesel cars, that's advisable.
Yeah, all the common rail diesel injection cars, always try and use the lower sulfur. Like trucks and all that with the older end diesel engines without the common rail, the 500 ppm is fine.
Okay, it's interesting. Just talk a little bit about that.
The other thing, Mulan, I was just talking about a suspension.
I was always wondering why people normally say use the lower one. All right.
On the long run, yeah, you'll benefit. Okay. Short run, you won't experience any problems, but once you start hitting 150, 200,000 kilometers, then you're going to know the problem. Yeah.
All right, Jazakumullah. Abdul Haq, the question coming through with regards to the brake cylinder. It says the master brake cylinder, repair or replace. What is the better option? Is it just a waste of time to try and overhaul a leaking master cylinder with a kit?
No, all depends also. First of all, the age of the vehicle. If it's one of these old vehicles, I think we had a question the week before, the same brother called in regarding the brake master cylinder. Because being an oldish vehicle, it's rather difficult to recondition because you do have sort of excessive wear within the cylinder itself. And if you put a new kit in there, it's not going to help much, or it might not last for long enough. In that case, it's preferred actually to replace the complete thing. With a newer vehicle, not too very old, you can put a kit in there. But I see they actually starting to do away with kits now, and you're going to end up buying the complete master cylinder. So, yeah, basically, older vehicles, you're going to start looking at getting another cylinder, whereas with the newer vehicles, you can still, as far as you get the kit, you can still do a kit on those.
Right, Jazakumullah. I did with regards to, a spark knock. The brother says his car's got a spark knock. May I ask you, what is a spark knock? What are the causes of the spark knock? And, what are the things that normally cause spark knock?
Also, you know, a spark knock is like new to me.
Yeah, I've also heard of it the first time now.
But I think maybe he's referring to pinging or that I can think.
Possible. Yeah, that could make sense. Pinging could be spark knock. Yeah.
Yeah, pinging was, to my knowledge, is back in the olden days, pinging was very common amongst cars. If you use the long spark plug, the lower heat range spark plugs, and if the timing was out, bad, you get the car pinging. So when you pull in away, you get like a pinging, and you pull in away. It sounds
almost like a rattling chain.
Like a rattling chain in the engine. So maybe that is referring to that spark knock. The other spark knock I can think of is if the spark plug's not tight properly and the spark plug's rattling there in the cylinder cage, that can cause like a knock also.
But then that would cause a misfire as well.
It also cause a misfire. It depends how tight it is or how loose it is. But I think the common thing is, if he's referring to, is the pinging noise caused by the wrong spark plug fitted or timing incorrectly set.
But you won't get it on newer vehicles.
No,
because the newer vehicles, they adjust their timing themselves, you know, so they compensate the idling with the
And also, coming to that, what brings to my mind also, when the spark plug is to overheat, you're using the wrong spark plug, and even when you switch the car off, car is still running, the pre-ignition.
Yeah, so I think maybe he's talking about it.
Maybe he's talking about it.
Pre-ignition. The other cause of pre-ignition also, I noticed back in the day, was if you changed, for example, from 93 to 95 fuel or something like that, and if you didn't readjust your timing, then you tended to have some sort of pinging. And you know what is very, it was very, very common on the VW product from what I recall.
Yeah, correct.
Jazakumullah. Let's continue, brothers. Number to call for the program is 011-854-1548. And the SMS numbers are 082-580-8070 and alternately 488-554-488-55. We're waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs. All right, the first question coming through, and it says, regarding the voltage drop testing, the brother wants to know, how about an alternator that puts out its normal charging amperage, but it's not keeping the battery fully charged? Is this possible?
The alternator is designed to pull out its normal amps, like you mentioned, like maybe 80 amps or 90 amps, depending on what's the output of the alternator charging the battery. So the main thing to remember that is if it's got the correct battery to hold the charge. So if the alternator is doing its job, it's 100% correct, but if the battery is not doing its job keeping the charge, then its problem is the battery.
What about nasty looking battery terminals that are blooming with a lot of corrosion? They obviously need cleaning. Adil, is it just hot water, boiling water? Does that do the job?
There's a bicarb of soda.
Bicarb,
hot water on the terminals works very well. It's always a good practice. And whenever the car is taken for the service, that is the number one thing that must be inspected. Because that definitely, that corrosion can leave you standing one day. And if you have no knowledge of motor cars, can really cause you a problem.
The other thing what happens is, due to corrosion, most of the terminal wears away. And obviously there's lack of contact. And as others says, you know, the car gets stuck. But the main culprit for causing these sort of things, or the corrosion, or the build-up of that white acidic stuff on the terminals, is due to overfilling the battery with water. What happens is, obviously, the battery does get hot, and there is some sort of evaporation. And the higher the water level is, The water level should be just to cover the electroplates in the battery. If it is much higher than that, then obviously it's going to come up with the sweating, and with the results you're going to have, because of the metal on the terminals, you're going to have that sort of corrosion. So it's very, very important that we make sure we do the right thing as far as the water level is in the battery. So I wouldn't, I'm not saying no to go to a filling station and have a water check and fill it. But I would suggest rather you have it done at a workshop on every service. That would be a more advisable thing to do.
Well, let's talk a little with regards to engine valve failure. It's a lot. It's very, very expensive as well. Nobody wants engine problems like, you know, oil consumption, compression leak. It's nasty. It's major problems, valve train noise, or even maybe just an outside valve failure. So I think, inshallah, every effort should be made to make sure that, you know, everything is okay. Are you talking about, you know, valves? It's a massive problem. How can one avoid such problems to the valves?
Most of the number one secret to avoid problems on the valves or any part of your engine, the secret to that success is change your oil regularly.
Okay.
So basically, even if you can, try and change your oil every 10,000 kilometers. Regardless of what the motor manufacturer says, if he says change it every 15,000, if you have the means, do it every 10,000 kilometers. I was reading of a guy in America, in New York, he had a Volvo, the P180, not that two-door.
Those old ones.
Yeah. He done now most of over 3.5 million miles with that car.
Miles.
They put him on the, you know, on the, on the, on, on a stage where he explained how he reached the kilometers, and he said religiously every 7,500 miles he changed oil.
Is it?
You see, so that was the secret, and the oil brand he used was Castrol. So basically, Castrol punted him and gave him the necessary exposure and publicity and things like that. But I'm just saying, a simple thing like that, only oil and filter. If you do that regularly, religiously, I guarantee you every engine will outlast an engine that is not changed regularly.
So you say every 10,000 kilometers?
Every 10,000 kilometers.
Lovely. Jazakallah for the advice. Change the oils. In fact, one mechanic told me some time ago as well what you're saying similarly. Mm-hmm. He says change your oil every 8 to 10,000 kilos, and inshallah you'll have a good engine life.
Really?
Abdul Haq, what is your mashwara, my brother? The brother wants to buy a 2.7 Toyota Hilux double cab, 2000 model.
2000.
Strong cars, eh?
Yeah, look, when it comes to the Toyota Hilux, especially the older ones, like you said, 2000 model, the 2.7, brilliant vehicle, good towing vehicle.
Double cab.
The double cab is actually quite spacious as well, in the back seat. I've actually had an opportunity of using them a couple of times.
I've driven one today as well, yeah.
And they're rather spacious in the back.
Yeah.
The power, alhamdulillah, is good in there. It's overall a very good vehicle, very very good vehicle. You know, of course, you can't compare it to the later vehicles now. But in its time, I think it was a brilliant vehicle.
Brilliant vehicle. Jazakumullah for that. Brothers, replacing a burnt valve, will this just fix a compression problem? If there is a problem in the cylinder head, never.
Yeah.
Depends, Mulana. You know, a problem in a cylinder head, obviously a burnt valve is loss of compression, and you have misfire and all those sort of things. If for example, you can't just say that, you know, the rings and bearings are gone as well.
Yeah.
If your compression is gone, and if you find that you have a burnt valve, then obviously the problem should be sorted out when you do the cylinder head. But obviously, it's advisable after you do the cylinder head to do another compression test just to make sure that you have a fair amount of compression on that cylinder, so you don't have a problem. Nowadays, I don't know, we don't get much burnt valves anymore, especially now that your fuel ratios and that are all sort of set by the computer and things like that. Back in the day, in the older vehicles where we physically set the fuel ratio and things like that, the air-fuel mixture, and if the vehicle was too lean, you had valves burning because of a lean mixture.
Jazakum Allah, we continue, inshallah. The brother, one SMS coming through, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Toyota Conquest 2000 model with 33K mileage, possibly 330,000 mileage. Is this a good buy? 330,000 kilos, 2000 model Toyota Tez.
That car must be running day and night.
Depends on the price as well. Yeah, 2000 very, model.
It's very, very dependent on the price. Obviously, if the price is good, you know, and if the engine has done that much of mileage, all right, you expect some sort of wear and tear on the motor itself.
But it's cheap to fix up those motors.
But that's what I was going to, that's my next point is, you know, even if you've got a little bit of oil consumption and things like that, they're rather cheaper to repair, recon the engine, you put it back in there, and inshallah, you can do another 300,000 kilometers. But obviously, it is price dependent. And also, the other thing that comes into play is, how is the body work, the general overall condition of the vehicle is also very, very important. Because you don't want to drive around in a rattling cage or, you know, something that you got in terms that the rust is actually holding the car together. So, look at the bodywork, look at the interior, look at all those things. If they generally in a good condition, overall good, fair condition, then I think you shouldn't have a problem with that. But 330,000, I'm sure he drives the derbs every day.
All right, Jazakallah for them, my brothers. We continue. 854-1548, the brother says, what's a good price to pay? The car is in good condition, never been resprayed. It's 25K, a good buy. Yes, I think 25,000 rands is definitely, inshallah, good buy. Allah keep a barakat in that. 854-1548, we're waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs.
Just coming back to that car, Mulana Maaf.
Yeah.
For example, you said 25,000. Even if you spend another 10, 15,000 on that car repairing the motor, you're not going to buy one of those Conquests at that price.
Yeah, I know. They're selling for approximately close to, let's say, about 40 grand. 37,000-40,000 rands, that's what you're going to pay for.
Yeah, and some of them in good condition, up to 45, the guys are getting. The guys are getting, because it's a nice little vehicle, economical vehicle, cheap to repair, and a good runaround vehicle.
Okay. Question a brother asked me in a week with regards to aluminium. You know, aluminium is used for many things in today's cars, you know, from cylinder heads, engine blocks, intake, manifolds, brothers, whatever it is, body panels, even subframes. Mm-hmm. And regarding this, somebody said that it's got many, many drawbacks. In spite of all the things that's been used in today's cars, it's got a lot of drawbacks because it's much, much more expensive than steel and it's not as strong as steel. And, you know, it can have quite a bit of problems. And added to the question, Adil, you know, when a person starts to weld aluminium, is it as easy as steel to weld? Let us take our call first, inshallah, we'll come back to this question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
Alhamdulillah, my brother.
Alhamdulillah, shukr, man.
Jazakallah.
You know what, I got a Fiat Palio, man.
Yeah.
It's 1.2.
Okay.
2002 model.
Yeah.
And the cylinder head went, and I fixed that up, and I don't know what the mechanics did, and they damaged the computer box.
Oh, no.
Now, at first they told me the injectors.
Yeah.
You fixed the injectors up, and I just rode it for a few days, and the thing wouldn't start again. So now I believe the computer box is gone. Is it worth repairing that car?
When you picked up the vehicle from the mechanic after all the repairs were done, was the car running properly?
It wasn't. It was like thinking, you know, like...
Okay.
You know, it wasn't moving.
Power-wise, how was it doing?
Power, nothing. Eh?
No power on it.
So it's definitely the computer box, you say?
The guy, now it's not starting at all, and I don't know where to take it and what to do.
Now, brother, what you can do, inshallah, is just leave your telephone number with our engineer, brother Osama. There is a gentleman in the Aikonof area who is quite good in this computer boxes.
Yeah, right.
And inshallah, his charge is minimal.
I just want to know, Mulana, you know, they said there's in Pretoria some giant...
Giant space.
Yeah. Do you, by any chance, have the phone number or contact numbers?
No.
Unfortunately not.
Just leave it.
You can just Google it.
Yeah, you could Google it, inshallah. You could change
your phone. What do they go under, Mulana?
Giant motor space.
Yeah.
Giant motor space.
Okay, Jazakallah.
My brother, if you need some help regarding the computer box?
If I get a second-hand computer box, will it do any difference?
Do they normally give guarantees if can you take it back if it's not working?
You see, on a modern-day car, I don't know if you had Palio, but if it's a 2002 model, and normally computer boxes, they come coded to the car. So you can't interchange them from one car to the other car. You have to decode it and recode it to your car. So in that way, you must just find out first if the computer box is not coded to your car. If it's coded to your car, then to buy the computer box, you have to pay for the computer box plus to pay for the coding to the car.
So it will
cost you extra. So if it's not coded to the car, then it's fine. And you can get a good second-hand one, you can stick it in and it will be fine.
But I think there is a minimal charge to just check it. Why don't you just check your old one? It might not cost you that much.
Okay. If you're like Mossab be saying, the guy in Aikonof, maybe you can take the computer box to him and
yeah,
him.
Okay.
I think it's about 450, 500 rands to see what the problem is.
Okay, Jazakumar.
Okay, my brother. Jazakumallah. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes, we were talking about welding aluminium, brothers. Is it as good as steel? And what about the problems when welding?
See, most of aluminium is the next generation of metal on motor cars and on building things because it's much more durable. It lasts longer. It doesn't rust easily. So it's the next thing to steel. I mean, and it's
much more lightweight as well.
It's a bit more expensive than steel. And it's used on most of cars. I mean, most of the expensive cars, aluminium is used. And to weld it, it's not easy. You need an art to weld it because the heat must be right, otherwise you can melt right through the aluminium. You need special welding equipment to weld the aluminium. So it's definitely more difficult to weld it than steel. But once welded properly, it looks very cool.
Alright, Jazakumullah. Adil, let's take it further. 29 minutes past 7 o'clock. Give us a call on the number 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers 0825-8080-17 and the SMS number is 48855. We're waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs. Assalamu alaikum. The question says, oil leaking into the spark plugs. What is the problem and the solution?
Typical oil on the spark plugs itself, excessive engine wear. You know, it could be also from the top of the engine. You know, in the older vehicles where you had excessive, I don't know if you remember clearly, the 124 series, the 123 series, Mercedes, where from the valve stem seals, you used to have some excessive oil coming down from there and obviously contaminating the spark plugs, and you had oil in that. But more than likely, it's a worn engine where your rings, bearings and things are worn. So what's happening is the oil now is pushing up past the piston on top of the cylinder and obviously contaminating the spark plug. So that means it's a little bit of an expensive issue to sort of do that. You must basically recon the engine to eliminate that problem.
Oh, the brother says alright, another SMS coming through. It says that it's a 2000, another, I think 2001 Toyota, it has approximately 30,000 kilos on the car, and the car is very, very clean.
It should 30, be
30,000 kilos.
It's on a 2001 model at 30,000,
it ought to be
used.
Immaculate.
It must be immaculate.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think dealers should give you 40, 45 for this car.
Yeah, privately you should even get more maybe.
Adil Amashwala, 50,000 rands, it's a buy, 33,000 case on the clock.
Yeah,
for a 2001 test.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what? I'm maybe exaggerating a little, but it's as good as gold, Milano. You know those vehicles. I mean, you buy it now for 40 grand. You get your 55, 60 grand out of that easy with a smile.
So that's a lovely car, and I'm sure the car is in immaculate condition.
But I know you've been after one all the time, so there's your chance, Milano.
We're gone for the inshallah. The question coming through is, please advise on the best replacement batteries for 2011 VW Polo. And we are, okay, let's not talk about the places to fit one. What must I look out for? Best replacement batteries for a 2011 VW Polo. Let's take up a call of us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello.
Hello, Jee. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. Master, I need a value on a Honda Jazz 2012 model, 1.5 VTEC auto.
Honda Jazz?
1.5, 2012 model.
2012 model. My brother, we don't have the book with us today, but inshallah, we'll give it to you. If you can call me after the program, we'll try and get the book value for you.
Okay, jazakallah.
Okay, my brother. But nice car, right? Jazakallah. Very, very good cars. Somebody asked me in the week as well, the Honda Jazzes. The older ones. Mm. Excellent cars.
Excellent cars.
Very popular. You see them a lot on the road.
Yeah.
Because they're brilliant vehicles. And you know, I found that a lot of people, when they go out of town and they hire a vehicle and, you know, they end up with the Honda Jazz and they come back and says, you know, I'm going to buy one of these. And that's how I know quite a few people. In fact, our very good friend, you know, Professor Raja, who does the labor laws with Radio Islam, he had one which he hired in Cape Town or something like that. And he came back and he bought one.
Okay.
And he's so happy. He says the only problem he has is between him and the wife is like, you know, both of them want to use the car same time. So, yeah, very, very nice vehicles, alhamdulillah. And you'll see they hold their value as well. And difficult to get good, clean ones nowadays.
Mm. Caller, line number 4, we welcome you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jibin.
Okay, I have a Nissan Almera that's been parked for quite some while.
Okay.
And the problem is we put the battery, we did everything, but the car is not starting.
It's at the older Almeras. Which model is it, Abba?
Yes, it is the older Almeras.
The older Almera. Does it have the Natus key?
Yeah, it does have that red light that's on the dashboard that goes on and off.
Mm. You see, on those keys, unfortunately, upon those keys, a lot of times, those keys tended to drop their code because it's got a transponder in it.
Yes.
And what has to now happen is more than likely you'd have to put it on a tow truck or get somebody who's going to come out there to code your key again for you.
Yeah, I remember. Even if you change batteries, sometimes you have to recode it.
Yeah, you'll have to recode it because the code drops.
Yeah, the car is not starting. Is the car not cranking or the car is...
No, it will crank. It won't start.
Is the car cranking or not cranking?
No, we did the coding on the key.
When was this?
Like 2 weeks ago. We got the guy and he did the coding and the key and everything and he said it's not the key.
But is the engine turning? When you turn in the key, is the engine turning? Or is it dead?
It's the engine turning. It is. There is light, there is everything, but it's not starting.
No.
It's not turning the engine.
Sorry?
Like you see, when you put the key into the ignition, you see, not starting can be two things. The car, you put the key in the ignition and the engine doesn't turn, and you put the key in the ignition and then the engine turns but it doesn't start.
The engine, it's the engine light that's not on.
But does it make a noise when you start? Or is it absolute silence?
Silent. When you try to start the car, is it making a noise like chu 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 like it? Or is it dead? No noise coming from the engine.
Yes, that's all it's doing, but it's not starting at all.
So
even we tried with new batteries, we did tried everything, but it's not starting at all.
Did you have a mechanic out there to have a look at it?
We did have one guy, and he said that it could be with something's wrong with the computer box.
Could be the computer box, Adil.
The possibility exists, but you see, the thing is about whoever the mechanic is, you got to do basics first. You got to check for fuel and for spark. If either one is absent, then you've got to check why. It's not something you just jump to the computer box all the time.
Where are you calling from, sister?
Lanesha South.
Lanesha South.
Unfortunately, I don't know any mechanics in the area that could be of assistance.
You say the car was turning for 1 year?
Like 8 months.
8 months.
Yeah, you got to...
your technician must check the basic things.
Yeah, he's got to do the basic checks first.
I don't think it can be a very serious problem. If the car stood for 8 months and you drove the car till there, it probably is maybe a blockage in the fuel, or maybe something not catching, maybe a spark error or a... I don't think it can be a computer box. Very.
What about checking
unlikely
for diagnostics and get to the bottom of the problem?
What about, is there fuel in the vehicle? Because sometimes
yes, there is fuel. We put a new battery, we put everything.
Yeah, you see, unfortunately, Appa, that is going to be a bit difficult for us to diagnose on air.
If there's a problem, Appa, if you just put a new battery, it's not going to start. You're going to see what the problem
is. You're
going
to find the problem, yeah.
It's going to be very, very difficult.
It's a 2004 Nissan Almera.
Yeah.
But we've got like three mechanics here, and they can't seem to find the fault. The whole three of them saying it's something to do with the computer box, not even with the key, because we did do a diagnostics on
also be computer box, brothers.
The possibility exists.
The guy
or Ikenov. Maybe
right.
The guy can have a look at the computer for them.
You can call us after the program, Papa.
And then we'll give you a telephone number, inshallah, and you give them a call. They do the computer boxes. They will check it out for you, inshallah, and then let's see how they can help you.
Okay, after the program on the same number.
G.
Okay.
Jazakallah. Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Question coming through, brothers. 4AFE Karola. It says, I'm finding oil in my water system, water bottle. What could be the problem? It's oil in the water system, the water bottle.
Yeah, look, that car doesn't have an oil cooler or anything. So we can't even, point. Is it automatic or manual, man? That's the other question.
Should be manual, I'm sure.
Because sometimes, automatic, what you have is, your oil cooler for your automatic transmission has a crack in it and pushes the water out into the cooling system. And with the result, you get some sort of oil in the bottle. But 9 out of 10, or should I say 99.5 out of 100, it's going to be the cylinder head gasket there. And unfortunately, on those vehicles, it mostly happens due to corrosion on the cylinder head itself.
Somebody wants to know, BMW E46 station wagon, 159 on the clock, what is the book value? It's a 2003 model. Normally, they're selling for approximately 45,000 rands. Approximately 45,000 rands, G. 2002, 2003 model.
But in running condition.
Yeah, it's about.
Because I had a question the other day where the gearbox is gone and the guy wants 40 grand. I don't think you're going to replace the gearbox for 60.
If the car is in good condition, if it's low kilos, like you say, 159, very, very clean, 40,
yeah,
you're going to pay 40, but they're normally selling for between 40 upwards, up to.
Yeah, but what are the gearbox repair on something like that cost? Or replacement?
BMW.
Yeah, E46.
About 10,000,
yeah,
automatic.
15,000, yeah, you're looking around.
All right. We're going further, inshallah. Number to call, 011-854-1548, and the SMSs are 0825-808070, and also 4855, and 0825-808070,
G. It's just getting scared whose numbers you're giving out, Jamalana.
G. All right, a few SMSs have come through, inshallah. We're waiting for the calls to come through. Limited time, G. Brother Osama says on the other side, can we have an air break? We take an air break. Maybe we come back, inshallah. We continue. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome at 7:42 PM, G. We're waiting for the calls, the SMSs to come through. 011-854-1548. And the SMS is 0825-808070 and 48855. G, brothers, have a look at this photo here. Somebody sent here. I've seen this photo here. He's got a car driving here. And he says, is that the car's mileage or your cell phone number? There's a picture, G. Is it the car's mileage or is it your cell phone number? Anyway, brothers, what are the types of exhaust smoke one gets? You get a blue smoke, you get a white smoke, black smoke. What is danger and what is normal for the older cars? What is bad news? What is good news? Let's start with the blue smoke.
See, generally all of them
the
are
white
bad
smoke
news.
Coming out from his mouth, that is bad smoke.
Yeah, whatever I'm talking now is all bad smoke. Generally all the smoke, excepting on a winter's morning where you get that condensation smoke, the rest of them are, I would say, bad news. Some are worse than the others. Obviously, when we're coming to the blackish smoke, it is more to do with fuel. Sometimes it's excessive fuel, or you see it on the diesel vehicles where you get this bus that's in front of you and you can't see the bus.
Yeah, I want to ask you regarding the diesels.
Yeah, 9 out of 10 times, that is dirty diesel or a faulty diesel pump.
Well, I'd be correct in saying regarding diesel, Qazatul Haq, that some white smoke is normal following a cold start on the diesel?
Yeah. Look, that's sort of, I would say, typical, sort of normal, yes. But the black smoke is not, as far as the diesel vehicles are concerned. Especially like I described it earlier, when you get this bus in front of you and you can't see the bus, actually, but you know there's something big in front of you that's driving there. And 9 out of 10 times, because of the 500 pp diesel that they are using, or they tend to fill up in their own sort of, they have their own little depots wherever they are, the diesel is rather dirty. With the result, it affects the pump as well as the burning of the diesel, and that is the result of the black smoke. You do get some sort of black smoke on a petrol vehicle as well, and that also is due to overfueling. But generally on the newer vehicles, you don't simply pick that up because these things are adjusted by the onboard computer and things like that. But when it comes to the bluish smoke, that is now, now we're starting to spell trouble, because that is oil burning up. Sometimes, you're driving behind a vehicle and this white bluish smoke is coming out of the exhaust. You end up with this funny smell in your vehicle and a headache very, very quickly. And that is due to excessive wear on the engine. You know, where you actually go to a filling station and you say, check the petrol and fill the oil. Are you? Generally, where you say, check the
petrol and check the fuel,
and fill the oil. So that is when you have that excessive white bluish smoke from there, and that means trouble. That means excessive wear on the engine, and you need to do something rather urgently. In fact, to my knowledge, there is some law against driving a vehicle like that in our country, but unfortunately, it's not enforced. But that is rather very, very unhealthy for anyone who breathes that burning oil in.
Jazakumullah. All right, we continue, inshallah. And yes, Abdul Haq, will I be correct in saying that, black smoke is normal for older diesel cars when they first started, but there should be no black smoke if the car is a late model car or truck?
Oh, yes, definitely not. Because obviously with the, with the newer vehicles, what happens is with all the computers and, electronics on board on the vehicle, the vehicle tends to do its own sort of adjustments according to amount of fuel needed, so you don't get excessive fuel coming through. With the result, you don't have that sort of burning black smoke. But obviously, if there is some sort of fault on the system, or you've used rather dirty fuel, diesel, then you're going to get that smoke that's going to come out of there. But as far as the older vehicles are concerned, yes, some amount is within tolerance. But obviously, that also needs to be looked at, because eventually what happens, it becomes excessive. And with the result, you've got to recon a diesel pump. And those diesel pumps are not cheap to recon. I think they start roughly at about 4,500 rand, I think, I don't know. Yes. And the other ones I've known going up to 22,000 rand to recon a complete pump, especially the older vehicles. And when it comes to the trucks, it costs a lot more than that, because that is a rather specialized field as far as the diesel pumps are concerned. I think that should cover about the black smoke on the diesels themselves.
All right, Jazakumullah. We continue limited time. G, give us a call on the number 011-854-1548, SMS 082-580-8070, and 48855. Brother's question coming through. Could you please advise how best to resolve the engine run on my, it says, 1997 Toyota Taz? When you switch off the engine,
we just spoke about this.
The engine keeps on running in a stuttering fashion. The idle is also higher than normal, and a friend has suggested that due to the car's age and mileage, which is 260,000 kilos, coupled with the fact that it has always been driven gently, carbon deposits have built up in the combustion chambers, causing the running on. And he says that apparently it's hard to get rid of such deposits without removing the cylinder head. Some advice on this here.
Look, there is, all right, there is a couple of scenarios in this case. Obviously, with the vehicle being driven gently around town, things like that, you do have excessive carbon deposits on your valves and things like that. Back in the day, you got something what they called valve ease. You put it into the fuel tank and you take the car for a drive. And back in the day, also, the tune-up was very, very simple in the car. You change plugs, points, condenser, and you take the car for a very good drive, and you find that eventually everything has cleared out to a certain extent. But today, because of the additives you have, you can use those additives. But yes, generally my sort of way before taking the cylinder head out is to put one of these additives in there and actually take the vehicle on the highway for a good spin. It tends to help in many ways there. If you still don't have joy with that, then obviously you're going to have to remove the cylinder head. And what you are referring to is what we just discussed earlier on, is pre-ignition. That also can be caused from today's fuel. You're not going to be able to change much on that. But have the timing on the vehicle checked out. Check your spark plugs. You know, if you have the correct spark plugs on that vehicle, those are the sort of things that are going to make a difference on there. But I wouldn't just go pulling off the cylinder head. I don't know.
Chimosab, it depends on how much spark buildup it's got. I mean, the carbon buildup in the cylinders. Like you said, if the valve ease and things like that works, you can try it out. It will be the cheaper fix.
It will be the cheaper fix to do the valve ease business. I mean, after it doesn't work, then it will be advisable.
Then you go for the, yeah.
To take the cylinder off.
All right, Jazakumullah. We continue, inshallah. The number to call is 854-1548. It's approximately 7 minutes remaining before we terminate. Adil Abdul Haq. Okay, every engine requires, I think, 4 to 5 things that needs to start the car. One is enough cranking speed. One is you need some compression. Also, you need ignition voltage. And obviously, you need some, you know, the proper fuel lines are all okay. What happens if your engine doesn't start? Let's try to analyze the situation. The engine doesn't start. Where does one start off? How do you analyze the problem? Battery, fuel,
If the engine doesn't start, all right, like we had the Almera question coming up just now.
Yeah.
Very, very simple thing, all right. You put your key on and you crank, you turn the key, and you should expect the engine to crank up. If the engine is obviously...
The engine crank up means the engine is turning.
Turning, it's rotating. The engine is rotating, actually. You should, you know, Adil makes that sound very, very nicely.
So you see the lady with the Almera, the upper with the Almera, she's listening. You're going to answer her question right now here, for the question you asked.
Yeah.
All right.
So if the upper with the Almera is listening, she must take note that there's two ways the car won't start.
Yeah.
There's one that you put the key in ignition, you put the key on, the lights come on the dashboard.
No sound.
There's no sound. The car is dead.
Yeah.
Right, and Abdullah and I explain the other one.
Alright, when it comes to the first scenario like we were talking now, is you put the key in and you turn it to the crank position and nothing happens, absolutely nothing happens to the vehicle, then obviously you've got, also a couple of scenarios there. Number one is on the modern vehicle, you would see whether your key or your alarm system or your immobilizer or something like that is now faulty. Or else you have a problem with the starter motor itself. A lot of times you'll find that the starter, the little terminal on the solenoid has come off, or the starter itself is totally faulty. Or totally burnt, because remember something, if a starter is not totally burnt or totally damaged and the wire is not off, then you will get at least a clicking sound from the starter itself. So if none of that is happening, then you look at your starter motor and have an auto electrician have a look at it. There is ways of bridging it while it's on the vehicle and just checking it out to make sure that it is whether the starter or not. Then coming to the other scenario now is where the APA has phoned earlier on with the Almera. You turn the key, the engine cranks, but nothing happens. All right. Let's just use APA's Nissan for example. First of all, basics, absolute basics. Fuel, is it coming through? Yes, okay. Spark, is it coming through? Yes, okay. Do you have compression on the vehicle? Very, very important. If you don't have compression on the vehicle, it's not going to start up that vehicle. You're going to really have an issue starting that vehicle up. Coming to APA's vehicle again, Almera, you've got what we call crank and cam shaft sensors. These actually pick up your number one position on the vehicle itself. If it's not reading a number one position, obviously the vehicle computer is now confused. It doesn't know which is number one and when to start the car and when to give you sufficient fuel or when to open each and every injector or when to actually supply power to that particular coil, because those vehicles have individual coils. You know, the overhead coils where they go directly onto the spark plug. So, if your crankshaft or camshaft sensor is not operational, then obviously you're going to have a problem as well. The vehicle is not going to start. The other thing also that I'm just come to mind now is if you have a cam belt that has tripped, you know, you'll crank the engine, it'll turn, but it's not going to start because the bottom half of the and the top half of the engine are not corresponding, so you're not going to have compression either. You're going to end up with bent valves and everything else like that. Also, the other thing is, over revving a car, you bend valves, you're going to have difficulty starting, it might not start. I think the possibilities are endless. I don't know if you want to add a couple more onto that to that little story of mine.
Yeah, the basics you mentioned. The first scenario was the main culprit, the battery, then the starter. The second one with the engine turns. The basic things should be checked. The main thing is the fuel and the spark. If the fuel and the spark is there, and engine is still not starting, then you have a problem. Then you have to look deeper into it. Engine timing, sensors could be faulty. Engine computer boxes could be faulty. So that's basically a quick summary of what Abdullah said. So basically, with modern day cars, the other alternative is to plug a diagnostic machine on, and the diagnostic machine will actually tell you where the fault can occur or where the fault is occurring.
Okay. So anyway, somebody sends the SMSs. I think the upper from the Almera. So the Almera problem could be the oil plug on the engine.
Oil no. plug.
Once changed, the car starts. No, Appa, it's not that easy.
The plug has got oil on it.
No.
Yeah, because this is what from what it sounds to me, it's just the oil plug.
All right, Appa, you'll have to see some good mechanic, inshallah. The oil sensor, she says.
Oil sensor. No, oil sensor won't stop the car from starting. It will not prevent the car from starting. The oil sensor is simply there to give you oil level. Or if you're lacking pressure in your in the vehicle, oil pressure in the vehicle, then it's going to put the light on and it's going to give you a warning. That would be a orange light. And typically orange light, they don't just simply prevent the car from starting.
Okay. Final question, limited time. Salaam alaikum, it says, how much does it cost a test to do valves and seals the car smokes for more than 6 months?
Look, basically, if it's smoking for more than 6 months, you've got to do a total recon on that engine. I would prefer doing a total recon on the engine, not just the cylinder head and valves, them seals and guides and things like that.
Yeah, it depends what is his mileage also on the car, how much kilometers does he have.
Yeah, but, if you look at a Tez, I've looked at it from the practical viewpoint, is that it's so easy to take that complete engine out. It's not that expensive. For example, what tends to happen is once you do the top of the motor up and your compression is blowing by your rings in the block, I notice it tends to pop out the crankshaft seal and then you have an oil leak because your compression is all going into the sump. So I would like to do that simultaneously on that particular vehicle.
Brothers, Jazakallah for the program. Allah Ta'ala reward you guys. Alhamdulillah, we learned a great deal. It's 3 minutes to 8 o'clock. Brother Adil, final remarks.
Jazakallah, myself, and to all our listeners. Alhamdulillah, we could have been of assistance to all the listeners who have some motor car problems and issues. Inshallah, get all your questions and problems ready for next week. Inshallah, we'll try and assist you whichever way we can.
Jazakallah, my brother.
Inshallah. Jazakallah, Adil. Jazakallah, Mulana. Mulana, just one comment. I'm just waiting for all those guys who offered us all the fishing trips over the year. I hope they come forward because it's fishing season now. So, inshallah.
Mulana is one of them.
Jazakumullahu khairan once again. Have a wonderful weekend, inshallah. We request special dua. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.